Well, this morning I'm excited to be able to introduce our guest speaker that's with us today, and really he's not much of a guest at all. We have him come out every year, and every time that he comes, he feels like he's family every single time that he shares. He's the founder of Radical Reality, travels all around doing different feats of strength. You've seen him rip phone books, bend bars, bench press, do all kinds of crazy different feats. He's almost as strong as I am, but he's trying to get there. And but he's traveled all around America. I really don't know anybody who has done more than this person when it comes to reaching the youth in America. He's reached more than 7 million youth in different assemblies at public schools. Has done a wonderful job there, is the Oakland A's chaplain, and has spoken to every single team in the American League. And so, I mean, very sought after preacher, very sought after when it comes to public speaking and all of that. But help me to introduce to you today our good friend, Donnie Moore.
I'm not saying it was hot, but yesterday in Stockton, it was so hot, I saw a dog chasing a cat and they were walking. I want you to know that I appreciate so much this church standing with us monthly and making a difference in students' lives. We have summer camps, and God is really blessed our camps. Over 30,000 students in the last 30 years alone have gone through our camps. And we did a program a couple years ago you guys helped us with Jackie Guzman, and it was with a glass slipper, and we provided these beautiful gowns for these girls from group homes and foster care. We had a banquet, and it was so neat because people volunteered, did their nails. They come up, did their hair. And these precious girls had just won my heart. So last year, we did at Christmas, instead of a banquet, we decided to purchase gifts for them. Not just a few gifts, but a bag with designer everything. This one precious lady put so much money and time in it. She went to Victoria's Secrets. And how many know Victoria doesn't have any secrets? And she said, I got your panty sizes and your bra. And there's 40 girls in there with me. I'm like, got my head down going, maybe I need to step outside. But those girls, if you look at this picture, this one girl just so touched me. You can see her wiping tears from her eyes as she gets a bag with gifts that just so moved her. And then we were able to scholarship these girls, many of them, to our summer camp. And the first girl is Aquila. Aquila was raised in the foster care system in a very difficult situation. At time she was in junior high, she was punching holes in her wall, in her room, so they would send her to juvenile hall. She ended up in juvenile hall, from juvenile hall into a group home in Sacramento. She was scholarshiped to our camp during last summer's camp opening night. She gave her life to Jesus. We sat on the front row after the service, and she looked at me and she said, "No, I know Jesus lived, but I didn't know that he died for me." And she went from camp back to her group home where she's been winning people to Jesus. She got straight A's in school from that point on. She graduated from high school a couple weeks ago, and she's registered next year at Sac State. My daughter went up with her when she registered, and she's going to be at Sac State. I'm so proud of Aquila. The next girl is Gigi. Gigi is a character. You can tell she is just so full of life. But her first crime was stealing a Christmas tree in Stockton, California at 11 years old. And she got caught. And she just wanted to have a Christmas with her family. She ended up in a lot of difficult situations that brought her to, again, the group home there in Sacramento. She came to camp. I noticed we have three-on-three tournaments that Terry runs, and she's out there dribbling the basketball, I mean, through her leg. I thought LeBron, and, you know, she's just amazing. And she was schooling the guys, knocking 3 points down. I said, you need to go out for basketball. Well, she got saved at camp. She came home, and she did go out for basketball. She's serving the Lord. And she, Gigi, is the starting point guard on her high school basketball team. And forever changed the camp. These are all the girls, if you can put this picture up, that went to camp, that gave their life to Jesus. And that's my daughter, Brooke, in the middle with the sunglasses on her head. She goes up every week, and she cuts the hair of these girls. They bring them over to the glass slipper and love on them. And these are the girls that you helped go to camp last year that came to faith in Jesus Christ. And before I turn back the microphone, I just want to let you know that our camps have been under attack like never before, and it's because of the influence that we're having in young people's lives. There are lies, people that are saying things that are absolutely untruths, but nevertheless, our first camp is completely packed out, and now we had to add a camp, and we're over 200 right now at that camp. We added a third camp in Oregon because of what God is doing and saving young people. Last year, we had over 400 students at our summer camps baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so it costs $250 to send a young person to our camp for a week. And we scholarship inner city, group home. We are able to scholarship many of the young people that can't afford to come. And so if God would speak to your heart, if you're a visitor, relax. But if God speaks to your heart, you'd like to help get a young person at camp that can't afford to come, Pastor Gary's going to tell you how you can do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Donnie. Thank you, Donnie. You know, every time Donnie comes, he says, Pastor Gary, can we just receive the offering right up front? That way I could really minister at the end of the service. You know, so many different people want to receive offerings at the end of the service because usually people give more after hearing someone preach a great message and after being touched from the Lord and all that. But I told Donnie, I said, Donnie, we'll definitely receive an offering up front, no problem for you. And really, Harvest, I just want you to be able to give, as you always do. This is such a giving church, a life-giving church, and what a great opportunity to be able to give to a great ministry where we know that kids' lives are going to get absolutely touched. And so if you don't mind preparing now, if you're making out a check, you can make it to Harvest Church, and there's an offering envelope there also in the back of the chair. But let's ask the ushers to come forward, and let's pray and give to the Lord. God, we just thank you so much for the ability to give back to you what you've already given to us. And God, in this offering, we just ask that you would multiply our efforts, that we would touch children's lives, kids' lives, junior high and senior high age students, and that their lives would be forever changed. These kids are from inner city, can't afford to go to camps like this to be able to hear the gospel and the message presented. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would use Harvest Church to bring about the harvest in the youth of America today. For it's in Jesus' name that we give you thanks. And everyone said amen? Amen. Amen. So you're going to see this video, and then as soon as this video is done, Donnie Moore is going to come and preach.
Isn't that crazy? A high school kid in Baton Rouge, or Shreveport, Louisiana, put that together. Pretty crazy stuff. You know, when I threw the phone book for all you Giant fans, I threw it right at Crenshaw, so that make you, some of you feel good. He was ducking. Genesis 37, the Bible says in verse 5, Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen, of this dream I had, we were binding sheaves of grain in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose up while your sheaves gathered around mine, bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Do you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream than what he had said. He had another dream. He told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. You guys thought that one was cool. Wait to hear this one. He said, this time in this dream, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. When his father, he told it to him, his brothers and his father rebuked him. What is this dream you have? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his fathers kept this in mind. I want to speak to you just for a few moments this morning on the power of a dream, the power of a dream. Joseph had a dream as a young man that one day he would be in a place of authority. The Bible says they hated him more for his dream than his words. The world can be a hostile environment for a dreamer. Joseph had this dream, but yet something happened that he wasn't ready for. You ever have something happen when you have a dream that you're not ready for? Brothers said, here comes the dreamer. And they said, let's kill him. We're going to take goat skin, and we'll take the blood, and we'll put it on the coat that father made, take it back to him and say, wild animals killed him. But instead, Reuben had passion, so they threw him in a pit. All dreams start in a pit. That's called prophet in training. A lot of people saw us this summer on ESPN as we did a talk for the Marlins. A lot of people have seen, of course, the footage of the Kansas City Royals when we spoke in the World Series. But people don't realize, getting saved on the college campus, my first sermon that I ever preached my pastor asked me to speak in a rest home for senior citizens, and I was glad to do it. I'd only been saved a couple of months, and I had the privilege to go, and I talked to Sister Jane. She was 88 years old in our church to come and play the violin. She's going to be my soloist. I talked to Sister Joyce to come and lead on the piano and some worship songs. And I figured, you know, I'm going to preach on heaven because the folks are up in years, and I figured they're close to heaven. And so I'm going to preach on that to give them hope about heaven. So I arrived early. I went room to room. I brought them in wheelchairs with, you know, to the day room. I went, and the beds had rollers on them. I rolled them in their beds. Church was packed out, day room. Sister, out of some hymnals, did such a wonderful job singing those old, the rugged cross, Amazing Grace. Sister Jane played the violin so beautifully as a soloist, and I got up to preach. I opened my Bible to John 14. I said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And a lady stood up to my left, and she said, say, I don't know who I am, and I don't know where I am, but I'm sure having a good time. And she sat down, and I didn't know what to do. So I started reading my text again, and she stood up again. She said, say, I don't know who I am, and I don't know where I am, but I'm sure having a good time. I didn't want to be disrespectful. What do you say? Sit down, Grandma. This is my time. I didn't know what to say. So I looked over to Sister Jane, and she, 88 years old, sweetest lady in the world, has laid her violin down on the ground, is laughing hysterically. I looked to Sister Joyce for some comfort, and her head was bouncing up and down on the piano keys as she had lost it completely, laughing out loud. So I started to read again. She stood up, and I just stopped. I said, ma'am, I said, you don't know who you are, you don't know where you are, but you're sure having a good time. And she goes, yep, and she sat down. I preached my message as fast as I could, gave an invitation. Everybody got saved that day, including me. I made a beeline to her wheelchair. I knelt down and I saw there on her wristband her name, Mrs. Vogt. I said, Mrs. Vogt, thank you for coming to service today. And she turned to me and she just said, you know, God so loved the world. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Did you know that? And I was just listening to her, and I realized that day, deeper than the cortex of the brain is the spirit. And the word of God was lodged in her spirit. And here she's speaking it out to me. She quoted some other scriptures. My pastor arrived to see how I'd done my first sermon. 2 months old in Jesus, convert on the college campus, preaching my first sermon. And there I'm kneeling next to Sister Vogt. My pastor walked up. He said, how'd it go, Donnie? I said, it was a great service, pastor. This is Sister Vogt. And Sister Vogt looks at pastor and smiles, looks at me and smiles. And she said, say, I'd like to see you two boys in your shorts. My pastor, well, he just runs down the hallway. You know, I was like 21 years old. She's running her hand through my hair and touching my face. And so I went back the next week to see Sister Vogt. And I walked in her room and I said, Sister Vogt, I said, how are you? I said, do you remember me? Do you know who I am? And she said, no, but if you ask that nurse over there, she'll tell you. All ministries start in places that we do not understand. Pitt is prophet in training. And young people, that's where God starts you in ministry. We always want to be servants, no matter where we're at, no matter where we go. Joseph, he was put in a pit. The Midianites sold into slavery, ends up in Potiphar's house. They're in Potiphar's house. Is Polly Potiphar. Polly Potiphar is Potiphar's wife. She looks at Joseph and notices that he is handsome and well-built. A Holy Ghost hunk. Dean, sitting on the front row, travels with me, single. We're taking applications in the back for any single women here. Anyway, if you would have looked at Joseph, ladies that are single, you would have said, God's will for my life. Joseph was a Holy Ghost hunk. He was a man. And she said to him, come to bed. How many know she was, come to bed. She weren't talking about taking a nap. You get out of those soap operas, ladies. There's some crazy stuff in this Bible. And Joseph ran. She got his coat, but she couldn't get his commitment. She got his coat, but she couldn't get his conviction. She got his coat, but she couldn't get his character. That boy was always losing coats. She lies about him, and now he goes to prison. That's not up, that's down. Prison. How many know in prison he could have got a bottle of Nile Comfort and said, I'm going to get drunk. I don't care. Look what God's done to me. I had a dream, and now it's in prison. What do you do with a dream when it goes to prison? And a guy in prison comes to Joseph, and he says to Joseph, hey, I had this dream. He's talking to the dreamer. And Joseph could have turned to him and said, listen, dude, I've had a dream 13 years. You know what's amazing about Joseph? Is Joseph never allowed the darkness which surrounded him in the cell to enter his heart. Joseph was in the dungeon, but he never let the dungeon get in him. If you can't give me a good Pentecostal amen, I'll take a good Baptist nod. Although he was in prison, he never allowed himself to become a prisoner of hate and bitterness. Yeah, take a picture of that and tweet that out. And this guy says, I have a dream. And Joseph turns to him and interprets his dreams. Sometimes you have to work on someone else's dream before your dream ever comes to pass. And he says, listen, this dream, you're squeezing out grapes before Pharaoh. This is what's going to happen. You're going to get out of prison, and when you do, you're going to be the cupbearer. You're going to be the butler of the Pharaoh. And when you get out of prison, don't forget me. In the relief of his release, he forgets about Joseph. How do you react when a friend forgets you in your prison? Worse than being betrayed or tempted is to be forgotten. What do you do after all your faithfulness to everyone? Even though they count you as a friend, they forget you. You see, interrupted dreams are not necessarily broken dreams meant to be abandoned. They're only delayed dreams meant to be postponed to their season. Everybody say season. Pharaoh has a dream. Fat cows, skinny cows, fat ears of corn, skinny ears of corn. The seven dream cows with anorexia take out the plump ones. The seven winded, blasted ears canalize the seven Kellogg cornflake pinup ears, and Pharaoh doesn't have a clue. He tells his butler, is there anybody can interpret this dream? And the butler says, I remember a man in prison. He says, get him. Now Joseph goes from the pit to prison, and now he's going to the palace. If you will see in scripture, in Joseph's life, you'll always see, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him favor. The Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him favor. The favor of God on your life is so key. The favor of God will open doors you can't open. You don't need everybody to like you. You just need the right person to like you. Favor. Joseph walks in humbly. And when they call for him, he doesn't come with an attitude as a young man. Hey, I got a dream. Everybody's going to bow down to me. He walks in and he says this to Pharaoh. Perhaps the Lord can help me help you. His dependency now is on God. And he says, the Lord can help me help you. This is the interpretation of the dream. 7 years of famine, 7 years of blessing. We store up during the 7 years of abundance. So when the famine comes, we'll be able to make it. The Pharaoh turns and gives him the keys to the storehouse. He becomes the prime minister of all of Egypt in a moment. From the pit to the prison to the palace. And the thing that is fascinating about this story, Joseph could not only interpret dreams, but he could interpret seasons. The Bible says to everything there's a season. Seasons are God's idea. The Bible says the good steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. So are there seasons. Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth endures seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. The Bible says in John 5:4, and an angel came down at a certain season and stirred and troubled the water. In Daniel 2:21, he changes the time and season. He sets up kings. He disposes them. Seasons are segment. Purpose is the overall goal of God. If you don't know how to handle a season, it'll frustrate the dream that God gave you. Seasons are God's servants. They have purpose. What's the reason for the season? Answer, harvest. We want spring, but we don't want winter. But we got to have winter if you want to have a resurrection in the spring. Seasons are sent. They have purpose. They're limited. They're controlled. And they come to a conclusion. Anything that arises a season of time doesn't have the power or the capability of circumventing what God has decided before time. He knows the end from the beginning. We live life in segments. Good job, bad job. Good boyfriend, bad boyfriend. Good house, bad house. God sees the whole thing. You see, God lives in eternity. We're going to where God is. We're marching through life. God is at the end of the parade. If you don't grasp the season of God, you'll try to force the dream of the promise. We look at successful churches and we say, I want a church like Harvest. I've heard people talk about the greatness of this church, and it is great. It is awesome. I want a church like that. Really? There have been a lot of hard seasons before this much fruit is produced. Seasons of misunderstanding. Dark nights, a lot of pain, loneliness, discouragement. You know, the people you know that have been here for a while, there have been some difficult times. Pastor Perry and Barbara are not here today. They're on sabbatical, obviously taking some time off. It's not easy to pastor. And he's one of the most humble, gracious Christians I know, Pastor Perry. But I do know this. He knows every exit out of this city. Why? You know, I was a young preacher. I used to go in, Gary, I'd go into churches and I would say, how can a pastor be in the ministry so long and know so little? Now I go into churches and I say, how can a pastor be in the ministry so long and still love Jesus so much? You can't harvest fruit out of season. You can't stand in front of that apple tree in the winter and say, bring forth fruit, bring forth fruit, bring forth fruit. It's not going to happen. If you don't understand this principle of season, the next time you're going through a hard season, you'll be tempted to quit. The season was sent not to reduce me or seduce me. The season was sent to perfect me into the image of Christ. Abraham, Sarah, his wife had bore him no children. But in Genesis 13, God took him outside of his air-conditioned tent one night. He said, look. You see the stars in the sky? You see the sand on the seashore? So shall your descendants. God gave him a promise. Gave him a promise. 5 years, 10 years. How many kids you got, Abraham? Zero. 15 years, 20 years. How many kids? All he had was a promise. God doesn't give explanations. He gives promises. You can't base your life on an explanation. Explanations change. God gives promises. God gave Abraham a promise. It hadn't come to pass. So what does Abraham do? He sits down and has a talk with his wife. And his wife said, I have an Egyptian maidservant. Her name is what? Hagar. If you go sleep with her, perhaps God will build a family through her. He did that. And they had a son. What was his name? Ishmael, born of the flesh. We pay $4 a gallon for gas today because Abraham understood promise, but he didn't understand season. Stay with me, Bible scholars. The Arab nation was born out of. The Bible is as real as it was written as it is today. We have ISIS today because Abraham understood promise, but he didn't understand season. So what did he do? He forced the promise. And anytime you force the promise of God, you're going to have something born of the flesh. So when God gives you a dream, a promise, a word, the dream's not fulfilled next week at 3 o'clock, you get frustrated. How many dreams are given up on because people misinterpret seasons? If you don't understand the season, you'll run away from where you're supposed to be. The promise, the dream, will never come to pass unless we live through the season. When God gives you a promise, in the promise are the rest stops. In the promise are the seasons. Today's problem is included in yesterday's promise. It will not stop tomorrow's dream. You hear people season food and they say, I'm doing that to give it what? Flavor. You season certain things to improve their taste. You season certain meats to make them more tender. You hear people say during Christmas, happy season. Season's greetings to you. Season's best. How many 49er fans? Last year was a bad season. So what are you hoping for this year? A good season. See, God has designed this life, and most Christians live for events, but this is a journey. And in the journey, there are different seasons. And we get in our comfort zone of we're going to try to make this happen or that happen. We set goals, and we read books, and listen to me. It's not the destination. It's in the journey. And the Bible says to know him. It's not where we're going. It's who we're knowing. And so in the season of difficulty, in the season that you're going through like I'm right now, in a season, I got to trust when I can't track him. When I can't trace God, I got to trust God. The problem, the dream will never come to pass unless we live through the season. And when God gives you the promise, the dream, and the promise are the rest stops, the problems, and the seasons. I got to wrap this up. A dream shows us things that God would have them to be. Jeanette, would you come? Instant anointing. I told the first service she could just get a sweatshirt, put on their instant anointing. And Iris, I don't know if you're still in here, man. Those young people that got up, when the girl did the splits, I pulled my hamstring. Somebody's got to pray for me after the service. That was unbelievable. And she was sitting in the front row. She was just grooving with it. I thought, yeah, I know she directed this thing. She was right there. Just hear me as I close. A dream shows us things that God would have them to be. A burden shows us things as they really are. See, accompanying every great dream is a burden. A burden for the lost. A burden for a community. A burden to help people. A burden for God to do a great work. A dream without a burden has no power in it, and it won't last. A burden and a dream work together. A burden propels the dream and keeps it alive. A dream without a burden is short-lived. A burden without a dream offers no hope. Joseph had dreams when he was asleep. But because they were so strong and vivid, they became the compelling vision of his life when he was awake. Don't give up on your dream, even though you might be going through a difficult season. For 6 lonely months, he dug his way into the mountain. All the creeks, the geological fingers pointed to right there in the mountain was the gold. But after months passed, frustration set in. So the prospector buried his pick, his candles, his dynamite at the extreme end of the tunnel and let go of his dream. Years passed with amazing swiftness. Eastern Mining Company found the claim had been abandoned, bought the land. The rock, the debris was removed. And they got to the end of the tunnel, and there they found the rusty remains of the prospector's pick. They found the time-worn candles. They found the dynamite. An escalation began immediately. And 6 inches further, they found the gold. That was one of the biggest finds, true story, in our state in California during the gold rush. The tragedy of the lost 6 inches. When fatalism tugged at the heart and fear said quit, there's no way. The candles were buried 6 inches too soon. Faith folded its tent 6 inches from the gold. Determination accepted defeat 6 inches before the fortune was found. Discouragement sounded retreat in the face of the raging battle with only 6 inches of limestone and shell separated him from the prize. How many marriages end up in divorce because they couldn't fight 6 more inches? How many of you here, God's been dealing with you to step out of your comfort zone and go out on your own business? How many churches are in lumber yards because faith wouldn't live 6 more inches? How many dreams are given up on because people stop 6 inches short? Don't bury your dream in the grave of might have been. No matter what difficult season you're in, like I'm right now, no matter what people say about you, don't let other people define you. God's given you a dream. And your dream might be in the pit. Your dream might be in prison. 13 years Joseph spent in prison. He never tried to defend himself. You know, the only time in Scripture that Joseph cries, it's not when he was in the pit, not when he was in prison, but for his own family. The people that he knew the most. The people he loved the most. Don't give up. Don't quit. Somebody's counting on you not quitting. There's another teenager I have to reach. No matter what I go through. God put a dream in my heart. I have to keep going, and so do you. Would you bow your heads? Father God, I thank you for these wonderful people. I thank you for this service today, a little time we have, some thoughts I've shared. Let Donnie Moore's words fall to the ground. But God, I'm praying for that one today that's come discouraged, that one that's frustrated, and they've been questioning, God, why? God, where are you? God, do you care? And Lord, I pray for those that have had broken dreams, those that are here, the dreams have been shattered. Those, Lord, that need this word today. And I'm wondering, with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you walked in today and you're a visitor, or you've been coming for a while, but you've never really given your life to Jesus. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to call you forward. But if you're here today and you'd like to receive Jesus, friend, you'll never know your dream. You'll never know your destiny. You'll never know your purpose until you meet the God who's determined it. So if you haven't received Jesus into your heart, do it right now. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up and say, Donnie, pray for me. Today, I want to give my life to Christ. Yeah, I see a couple young ones raising their hand. Is there somebody that's here that God is speaking to today about finally receiving Christ into their hearts? If that's you, just slip it up. Let me see your hand and put it back down. I'll look. I know there are most believers here today. I get that. But I always give that opportunity because you never know. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I want to pray for you. I really do. But I'm going to ask you all to stand. Everybody stand. Everybody, just quickly. I know that there's another service. I know the only thing between you and a good lunch is me. But I want to pray for you. How many today feel like your dream's in the pit? Wave at me. Yeah. Yeah. How many feel like your dream's in prison? You're like, God, I'm in prison. Yeah. How many today trying to figure out what your dream is? Yeah. God, what do you have for me? How many are here today discouraged? Yeah. Some of you didn't raise your hand, but you're just nodding. Guy in the back's got both hands and a foot up. Okay. God hears you. I want you to put a hand over your heart. I'm going to pray a prayer over you, and we're going to sing a song. God, I bind every spirit of discouragement. I bind every lie of the enemy. Any accusation that's come against them, God, any attitude, Lord, in their heart today that would bring to a point of fatigue to want to quit. Oh, God, let a wind of encouragement blow across this auditorium. Let people know you're with them. God, even though they can't track you, they trust you. God, when they can't trace what you're doing, they trust you. And God, when we look at our present and we're having trouble, all we got to do is look at your track record. You're a faithful God. And God, right now, we stand in Romans 8:28. All things work for the good. They're just not good when they're working, but they're working for the good. God, it's not what's coming against me. God, it's what is for me. We trust you. Would you lift a hand to heaven, please? Come on.